Hello, beloved, and welcome to this evening's message, where we continue to look at the book of Revelation. This is already the 16th part of our series on the book of Revelation. And tonight, we're going to continue with the Church of Thyatira. We've already done two parts on Thyatira. This will be the last one as we conclude what has been said by Jesus Christ to the church in Thyatira. Remember that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, chooses his churches, and he is the one who calls them, he's the one who brings them into existence, and he's the one who then looks at his churches and decides whether they are doing what is acceptable to him and what is not. Okay, so that's just the way it works. Before we continue though, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you that we can look at your word and take your word and study it. And thank you so much, Father, for speaking to us and showing us different things. And I pray, Father, please, as we study the church in Thyatira, will you please open up things in for us so that we as believers can be encouraged, but also, yeah, disciplined if it's necessary, so that your name may be glorified at the end of the day. So I pray that you be with us as we look at the church in Thyatira, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right now, so far in this letter of Jesus Christ to his church in Thyatira, we have seen that he gives a revelation of himself in verse 18. He calls himself the Son of God. And we also saw that Jesus knows his church. He knows their works, their love, their service, their faith, and their patience. And according to Christ, all of these attributes that they had were excellent. Then we have also seen that Jesus Christ doesn't appreciate the fact that a Jezebel type of person got access to the church. And then she started seducing the church into sexual immorality and eating things that were sacrificed to idols. But we've also seen that Christ's mercy is amazing, absolutely amazing, as he allows Jezebel and her followers to repent before he judges them. And let me tell you, the judgment is severe. And then finally, we've seen that Jesus is omniscient, right? And he judges everyone in accordance to their works. So he knows everybody's works because he's omniscient. Okay. Now when we get to verse 24, and this is where we're going for tonight. Verse 24, we read the following. Now, to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. That's verse 24. I will put on you no other burden. Now, what we find in this verse is, they say, it's somewhat of a problem in the translation. Because as the verse basically reads here, it says that Jesus is addressing two groups of people. The one group is those people who hold on to the false doctrine of Jezebel. And then the other group is the group who does not hold to her doctrine. So it's two groups of people. And the split is basically between who holds to her doctrine and who doesn't. But a professor, Stewart, he suggested the following translation. Verse 24, he says, this is how he would translate it from the Greek. He says, but I say unto you, the remainder in Thyatira, so many as hold not this doctrine. So he's talking about those who remain in Thyatira, those who are left. Because remember, when Jesus' judgment comes upon Thyatira, then obviously he's going to put some to death. Now, there's things that's going to happen within that church. Right, so his translation is then to say unto, you the remainder in Thyatira, as many as hold not this doctrine. So basically what Jesus is doing is he's addressing those individuals who did not defile themselves with the doctrine of Jezebel. There is actually no way to know how much of, or how many of the people in Thyatira did not go for the doctrine of Jezebel. The text doesn't tell us, so we haven't got a clue. Now, it's said of these people that they have not known the depths of Satan. That's quite interesting. They did not know, or they haven't known, the depths of Satan. So they were basically not exposed to the deep arts and the designs of Satan. Because, beloved, let's face it, there are some deep evil stuff that is cooked up in the occult, for example. I mean, if you go into the occult and you go into the studying of the occult and what these people that practice the occult, what they up to and what they do, woof. It is deep stuff. It is, it's really things that disturbs deeply. You know, because the things that they are involved in is, let's call it deep underground stuff. They don't want the people to even know about it. That's how bad it is. But then, again, at the same time, it's also mysterious because they don't want people to know about it so that they can continue to do it because it is so bad. You know, so it's good that people are not exposed to these deep things of the devil, the depth of Satan. It's very good that people are not exposed to that. And these people that Jesus speaks about are people who did not expose themselves to Satan's temptations to go into these deep arts, these deep underground things, these things that are hidden. It's as if they were protected from these things. And it's amazing because it's wonderful that Christ would protect certain people from these things. But obviously those who wanted to follow Jezebel could follow Jezebel. Okay? Now, if we talk about the deep arts and the designs of the devil, the depths of Satan, it basically refers to that Satan's art to be able to lead people astray. Because remember, what Jezebel did was, she had the ability to come into the church and then lead people into sexual immorality and into idolatry. That's what she was able to do. How did she do it? Well, it's clear how she did it. She did it in through the power of Satan. That ability that Satan has to, how can I say, to lead people astray was in Jezebel. Okay. But the wonderful thing is that there was a group of people in Thyatira, and they never got involved in these things. I somehow call it a manipulating spirit, because that's very, very dangerous. You see, these believers stood firm in Christ and in the doctrine of the apostles. They would not be swayed by this woman, Jezebel, or this Jezebel-like woman. They would not be moved by her, because they knew what the truth was. They understood who Christ is. They understood who God is. So they didn't want to get involved in the depths of Satan. Right? Because, by the way, part of this the depths of Satan is this pre-Gnostic teaching that you can do with your body whatever you want, and it's not going to harm your spirit. Okay, so that is also part of the depths of Satan. A false doctrine that would still come out in the future. Okay, but it's important that the depths of Satan actually includes those things. Now what Jesus does is he tells this group of believers in Thyatira, you know, those who who did not get involved in, who didn't allow all these trickery of Jezebel to influence them or whatever. He said that Jesus says that he's not going to put any other burden on them. Now, what burden did they have? What is this other burden that Jesus is speaking about? Well, according to the text, it seems like the believers in Thyatira were burdened to stay strong, especially to stay strong in the midst of all these teachings of Jezebel, not to get caught up in all these things, you know, sexual immorality and get involved in idolatry and all these kind of things. So that was the burden that they were already carrying, to stand strong and to stand firm and to continue in the teachings, because it seems like there was a massive, pressure group that developed within the church in Thyatira. Now, remember they were called not to follow after the doctrine of Jezebel. And that was already a burden. They shouldn't get involved in sexual immorality and things offered to idols. That's part of the burden. And then part of the burden was also for them to stay holy, as the Lord Jesus Christ is holy, as God expected them to be holy. For them to say all these things, it was a burden on them. Okay. Now, we get to verse 25, where he says, "But hold fast what you have till I come." This basically means that the true believers who did not keep to the doctrine, or who did not even get involved in the doctrine of Jezebel, that they should not let go of their grasp on solid doctrine, on the truth, on the gospel, on salvation, and that kind of thing. Okay. They should stay faithful in the truth and in their purity, in their holiness. And this they should do until Jesus Christ returns. You know, when Jesus comes back to take his own with him, to go and be with him forever and ever. Now remember, like in the other churches, Jesus speaks about overcomers. I don't know if you've noticed that. He speaks about overcome, or the overcomers. Now, beloved, let's say to one another, first thing first, and it's important, is that every believer, every true, born-again, spirit-filled believer is an overcomer. Okay? Christ Jesus overcame on our behalf, which makes us overcomers. I mean, just listen to the way that Jesus speaks to the believers in Thyatira, verse 26. Now, look at this. He says, "And he who overcomes and keeps my work until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." You see that? Absolutely amazing. Now what Jesus does here is he brings in the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. It's not enough just for them to be overcomers. No. Jesus calls on these believers to persevere until the end, till Jesus Christ returns to the earth. Now, it's important to note that all true believers will persevere, because that's what the doctrine of perseverance is all about. All believers will persevere. Even though they will make mistakes and they will sin and they will do things, they will always come back to the truth and they will persevere. Okay? And they will persevere until the end. Okay? It is important to note that all true believers, they will persevere till the end, because it's a sign of a true believer to continue in the faith till Jesus Christ returns. You see, the good work that God started in us, he will finish it till the day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return. He started it, he will finish it. It is God who works it in us, both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. It's John chapter 6 that tells us that Jesus will raise those that the Father gives him. He will raise them up in the last days. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely fantastic. Now, Verse 26 has a very interesting part. Just listen to this. It says, to him I will give power over the nations. To who? To the one who overcomes. Okay? I will give him power over the nations. Now, the meaning of this Greek word for power is to have authority. It's a, how can I say? It's one of those amazing promises in Scripture that all believers will partake in the final triumph of Jesus Christ, our Savior. All believers will be associated with Him. We will be associated with Christ in His future glory. That's basically what it means. That's what it boils down to. As Christ rules in glory, we will be associated with Him because we belong to Him. Does that make sense? It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Now, as Jesus rules, listen to this, we belong to Him and we partake in His rule as His people. It doesn't mean that now all of a sudden we're going to rule the earth. No, Jesus is the one who rules. We are just going to be associated with Him. And why? Because He rules and we are with Him. We are associated with Him. Now, in verse 27, we find a quote from Psalm 2, verse 6, which tells us how Jesus Christ will rule. And it says, verse 27, look at this. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and they shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, and I also have received from my Father. Yo. You see, this psalm is referring to the Messiah, who would rule the nations with power. And that power is a firm power. It's an invincible power. That's how the Messiah will rule one day. That's what the psalmist is actually pointing towards. Christ's rule will be with power and strength. His governance cannot be opposed because He is the ultimate ruler. And He will rule as a shepherd over the sheep. And when He returns, He will come as the judge and will destroy His enemies. He will destroy the Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil, all the fallen angels. He will destroy all the wicked. Okay? It's just absolutely amazing. But the words of Jesus Christ, the words that He uses here, especially at the end of verse 27, is very interesting. Because He says, as I also have received from my Father. Eh? You see that? He says, He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall dash His to pieces like the potter's vessel. Or they shall be dashed. And as I also have received from my Father. Now remember, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth, and he said to him, if he worships the devil will give him all of these kingdoms. Now, obviously, Jesus refused it, but and because Jesus was obviously on his way to the cross, Jesus knew that if he died, if he was buried, and when he raised again, is raised from the dead, he would receive the kingdom from his heavenly Father anyway. So here in our passage, Jesus tells us that He received a kingdom. And we as believers are somehow partakers of the rule of Christ in His kingdom. Now, how it works and how it's going to work, I don't know. But Jesus says that it will work. Okay? What I do know is that all of Jesus' prophecies will come to pass. Because He is trustworthy. Okay? And that prophecy will also come to pass. This brings us to verse 28. And he says, and I will give him the morning star. Yo. See, verse 28 tells us that believers, these overcomers, you and I, we will receive a massive reward one day. That is, we will receive the morning star. See, those who overcome, those who stand fast till the end, they will receive Jesus Christ himself. They will receive the morning star, but not in the sense of a star or something. No, they will receive Jesus Christ himself. They will be in his presence. They will be with him forever and ever. Absolutely amazing. You see, when believers receive him as the morning star, they will basically reflect Jesus' perfect brightness. He says that, that's basically what he says. Now, he says that we shall all shine like him. Believers will share in Christ Jesus' kingly glory. Love it. This idea of receiving the morning star is similar to what Jesus told his believers, the believers in Pergamos, né? When he said to them that they will receive manna. Remember that manna was supernatural, or the manna is supernatural, and if they partake of the manna, they will never ever be hungry again. Okay? Now, the same thing, when we receive Christ, now when we receive him as the morning star, the true morning star, then basically it means that we won't need any light because he is our light. Yeah? He's the bread of life. He is life itself. Oh, it's so beautiful to see that. Beloved, we will join Jesus as he rules, and we will never ever hunger again. We will never ever need the sun again, because Jesus Christ himself will shine. Now, I know that's figurative speaking, or figuratively speaking, but still, it is absolutely amazing to know that we will partake of Christ. Just like Israel partook of the supernatural manna, we will partake of Christ and never ever be hungry again. We will partake of his light that shines out of him. So we don't need any light. We've got him. That's what we have in Christ. Oh, it's so beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And I believe that we will do very well to take heed of the words of Jesus Christ in verse 29, where he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Yeah. Think about that for a moment. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So my question is, beloved, in listening to what is being said to these churches, do you have open ears to hear? Question I think is also, do I have open ears to hear? Do we really, or are we really willing to listen to what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has to say? And are we really willing to adapt and to change if we hear from him that certain things are not right? Oh, beloved, may the Lord give us grace. May verse 29 be true for each one of us, that we will have an ear to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Because that's what we need, is we need open ears to be able to hear. That concludes our study on the Church of Thyatira. What a church. What a message from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the head of the church. What a message from him. Beloved, may we really have ears to hear and be open to hear what he's saying. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you in Jesus' name. And thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Absolutely amazing that we can study your word and be fed from your word. But also at the end of the day, Father, be rebuked if necessary, because it says if you have an ear, we need to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, thank you very much for watching. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and may He give you His peace. God willing, bless you. Bye-bye.